Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the DS Smith AGM Trading Statement conference call. My name is Dave, and I'll be your coordinator for today's conference. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, at the end of the call, you'll have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad, and you'll be connected to an operator. I'm now handing you over to Miles Roberts to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us today. I'm Miles Roberts, the CEO of DS Smith, and I'm joined here by Adrian Marsh, our CFO. Our trading statement, released this morning ahead of our AGM later today, relates to the period of trading since the 1st of May. And in that time, we've made good progress. Performance has been in line with our expectations. Volume growth remains good and really reflects the continued customer support for our unique product and service proposition right across Europe. Our return on sales and return on average capital employed have both shown further improvement versus the comparable period last year. And this reflects the ongoing benefits of our scale, which gives us the opportunity to lead the market in quality and innovation, while, of course, remaining very competitive on price. Over the period, as a reminder, we have continued to strengthen our business with a number of transactions. On the 31st of May, we completed the acquisition of Durapac, a recycled corrugated packaging business with market-leading positions across southeastern Europe. And we're very pleased with the reaction from the employees and customers, with a limited impact on volumes from customer overlap. The integration work today has progressed very well and now expect cost synergies of £15 million per annum and cash synergies of £18 million to be delivered within 3 years of ownership, compared to the original estimates of £12 million and £13 million respectively. And on the 31st of July, we completed the acquisition of a corrugated activities of Grupo Lantero. The business is well invested with a strong focus in the FMG sector and significantly strengthens our business in Spain, an important and growing market, increasing our market shares to approximately 10%. And again, we're very pleased with the progress we've been making on integration. The response from our employees and customers has been tremendous. So looking ahead, our outlook remains positive, as volumes continue to grow despite the ongoing challenging market conditions. The board expects continued performance in line with our medium-term financial targets. We have a clear vision of further growing DS Smith, both in geographic scale and quality of service, and our most recent acquisitions, together with the customer and market opportunities for growth, give us real confidence for the future. Thank you. I'd now like to invite questions, which myself or Adrian will be more than happy to answer.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and want to withdraw your question, please press star one again. You will be advised when to ask your question. The first question is from David O'Brien from Goodbody. Please go ahead, David.
Hey, folks, just a couple from me, please. Firstly, just on the synergies in Durapac, can you give us a sense of is there additional cost to come with the extra synergies you're gaining there? And indeed, what is the one-off cost associated with the integration of the Durapac business? Specifically on Lantero, I guess, could you give us a sense of what the absolute amount of synergies you expect to extract from that deal as well? And I suppose, thirdly, just on the closure of the Wandsborough mill, is there any, what are the costs and savings associated with that?
Adrian, do you want to, are you happy to?
Sure.
Just in terms of the original cost of the the synergies of Duro?
Yeah, in terms of the current level of synergies and the increase, there's no increase to what we set out as our original estimate on cost, which we described as around 13 million euros, which we believe to be a representative number. We haven't changed that view. The additional cost, the additional synergies now, it's much more a reflection of the fact that when you look to buy a business, you set out what you think your synergies are going to be. I mean, we know the industry obviously well enough, and we know where we believe we're going to get opportunities. Once you come together, and in that sort of first 90 days, which we're just coming up to the end of now, and the teams are working together, you actually hear of what you believe the opportunities are from the perspective of the company you've bought. So it's just a fine-tuning of the number, which in any case can only really be an estimate when you make your business case together. And this is simply reflecting now the ambition of the Duropack team as well coming in. And it's pretty much across the board. There's nothing specific in there. And as I say, there's no change on the cost. In terms of Wandsborough, it won't be a significant number. The cash costs will be relatively small, and we'll describe that at the half year. We're obviously at the moment going through a consultation process, so we're slightly restricted on what we can describe at the moment, but we have no anticipation of a significant cash cost. In fact, we know it won't be.
Okay. And just the absolute savings in terms of Lantero?
As I described to you, the process we're going through on the Duropack acquisition in terms of the teams are coming together and working through the synergies. We're currently in the middle of that process now. We took the business beginning of August. August, obviously, significant vacation period in Spain. So those teams are working through that at the moment. And again, you know, I'll update that when I've got a number that I can give.
Maybe just one final one, just on how you see the prospects for the Testliner price increase in September, and maybe how corrugated prices are reflecting the current dynamics in containerboard.
Yeah, I mean, there has been further announcements on Test, and we are in September, and all the discussions, et cetera, go through in September. So it's too early to say definitively what will happen. But what we can say for our business is demand remains good, and demand for our paper remains very strong. So we'll wait to see what happens. But I'm not totally surprised. There's a further increase going through.
Great, thanks.
The next question is from the line of Barry Dixon from Davy. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. A couple of questions, and maybe just a follow on there from David's question on what you're seeing on corrugated prices at the moment. How soon do you think you'll start to see those corrugated prices reflect the increase in containerboard prices, the previous increase in July, August? And I suppose related to that, in terms of how are you, I mean, it's impressive that you're reporting an increase in margins, given, I suppose, the input cost headwind that you must be facing, given that rise in recycled and kraftliner prices from earlier in the year. You might just talk about how that margin is improving in that backdrop. Secondly, you talk about volume is good, and I don't know how to read good. I think you had talked before that volumes were up 3-4% when you gave the full year results. Is that kind of what we should read as good, that 3-4 is still that kind of level, or has it accelerated anything from that? And this, just finally, in terms of the recycling business, in terms of OCC, any sort of change in trends in OCC prices over the last month, given the turmoil in Chinese markets and the devaluation of the currency? Thank you.
Okay. So in terms of pricing on the corrugates, everybody knows we have a short paper position, so we try to limit the exposure of our shareholders to notoriously cyclical business. But prices have been going up in test. I have to say we haven't really seen very much at all on craft. So, but on test they did go up a while ago, and that feeds through into pricing. Some of our pricing has already changed. We're very clear on our recovery periods, and we are recovering in line with our traditional recovery period. But as we said, we have an underlying improving business because of the proposition that we give to our customers. So there is a period to recover the increase in costs, but our margins are still improving on the back of that proposition. And of course, we did increase the our medium-term target for return on sales at the full year, and remain working towards that target. The volumes have remained good. We're quite pleased with that. I think for the last full year, we were just over 3%, and we're pleased with the progress that we've made in the first period of this year. We do have some new businesses that have just joined us, and we're sort of working through where they are, etc. If you remember when we bought FDA, that business had been losing volume for a number of years, and within a few months we turned it around to a positive, and it's only improved since then. And we're working through the new acquisitions, exactly where they are and what's going to happen there, but overall we are... we're pleased with the progress that we're making on our volumes. Europe remains difficult, but packaging has never been more relevant to our customers, and they continue to see it's important. It's important that affecting their rate of sale at the point of sale in the retailers. And on recycling, this is the cost of fibre. You know, it's again, it's a historically it's been quite a volatile business. Although for the last couple of years, it's been very stable. The price of OCC. There have been some recent, very modest increases, and you know, these are partly affected by exchange rates, as they're different markets. People can buy, and so the price has gone up over the last number of months by a number of euros a ton. And at the moment, the price in some markets has been stable. The price in some other markets has come off very modestly. But frankly, who knows where it's going to go? It's you know, it's always a volatile. I think when we look going forward, we don't see any particular pressure on OCC. It's been pretty stable for a long time. You know, we don't see any particular reason why it should increase.
Sorry, Mark, did you say that the prices in some markets were off modestly in recent weeks?
Some of them are off, obviously, yeah. I mean, we're only talking a few euros. It's nothing. Mm. You know, and it's come off, of course, but it's gone up recently. So it's a little bit volatile, but in quite a tight range. I mean, we're talking very modest numbers. Is it three euros a ton on a price of say 130 or something? But there is it's pretty stable. I have to say, looking forward, you don't expect it to come right off at all or actually increase. It has been stable. We expect that to continue going forward.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Justin Jordan from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone, and obviously well done, positive start to the year. I'd just like to push you for just a little bit more granular detail, if I could. Obviously, in fiscal 15, you reported 3.1% organic corrugated volume growth, and obviously that improved in the second half of fiscal 15. I'm just trying to get some more granular detail on, in the first 3 months of fiscal 16, where are you in that sort of, let's say, 3-4% range that you were delivering in fiscal 16? And secondly, just so I'm clear, when you talk about return on sales improving year on year, that's in relation to an improvement on the 8.9% operating margin that you delivered in the first half of fiscal 15. I just want to clarify that you're guiding to above that year on year in the first 6 months this year.
Yeah, we're taking the we're saying that our margins in the in our trading year to date are better than the margins we recorded over the comparative period last year. So you can see how the first half is better than the second half because our volumes are ahead in sort of the build up to Christmas. And therefore, we're seeing this first year being better than last first year. So, on a weighted average, if that all continues, then you'll see a progress on the margin for the year today. If that all continues, but we're pleased with that continued good margin growth. And that is partly because the operational gearing on volumes now, just due to the movements that can affect our business in any sort of one or few month period. We don't give a breakdown of volumes on a quarterly basis. But and as I said, we do have these new acquisitions coming in, and we're just seeing exactly where they are and what their outlook is for volume. But overall, we're pleased with progress. The business continues to grow. Customer response is very good. We'll be able to give a lot more information at the half year when we understand exactly where all these new acquisitions are going.
Okay, and just push you a little bit further on the M&A pipeline. Obviously, as you quite rightly say, you've seen two acquisitions completed in the last 6 months, and pleasing to see the guide up and synergies on Durapac. But can I just push you just for some more color on the pipeline of M&A opportunities and geographies that you're looking at? You know, there's been some market speculation of potential opportunities in North America that might be of interest to you. Or is Europe still your focus for M&A?
Well, Europe is very much our focus because you have such strong synergies. And the customer reaction is absolutely tremendous, particularly when we go into new geographies where we haven't been before. It's quite, the reception from the big customers is absolutely tremendous. Because of that, the shareholder returns we can generate from acquisitions in Europe is very strong. And the pipeline's good. We have a very strong team there. As you say, we've completed a number recently. And, you know, a number of people have come to us after those announcements. We've been a lot of ongoing discussions. So we feel quite positive about the opportunities there and the ability to us to pay a decent price to the owner, but most importantly, deliver, you know, a stronger business model for our customers and strong shareholder returns. So, as I say, we feel quite positive there. But the pull from our customers for our offering into other markets remains very strong. We are doing or working in North America, but just really on the service provision. So we don't have any facilities there in corrugated. This is all about how we give all the design and the front-end services to the big customers. And we're delighted with to receive that strong call. So that's really how we're looking at that market, starting to service our customers. But our main M&A focus remains very much about continuing to consolidate Europe. They're good opportunities that can deliver a lot of value.
Thank you. That's great.
Ladies and gentlemen, just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment, please press star 1 now on your telephone keypad. The next question comes from the line of Hector Forsyth from Stifel. Please go ahead, Hector.
Thank you. Morning, guys. A couple of quick ones, hopefully. You obviously the Wandsworth mill announced for closure. Where are you in terms of the rest of the paper assets? Are there any other intentions for exits or tidy up in that portfolio? And the second question is, can you refresh my memory as to where you've got to in terms of the pursuit of assets that you were looking at in Turkey / Greece?
The paper business is, as I said, Hector, is the, to remind everybody, that it's very much around sort of the returns you get on that business and their cyclicality, so we like to keep a shorter position as possible. And that whole portfolio remains under active review, and it always will. We set out a number of mills for disposal post the SCA acquisition. A number of have been sold or closed. The remainder mills we have, as I said, there's always an active review, but there's nothing imminent on that. With the new acquisitions that we have made, one of them has a small mill and a larger mill, and we're just working through exactly what the future for those assets remain. But the point is to keep our shareholders' exposure to these assets to the minimum that's needed, and we'll never stop reshaping our asset portfolio as in line with how we see the future. But there's nothing imminent to come that's going to come along in the near future.
Just on that, you're about 55% covered for own production at the moment, I think. And you had in the past the strategic target of around about 50%. Is that still the case?
Yeah, that's where we'd like to get to. We are in the in the 50s. I mean, it sort of bobs around a bit, but I think we're in the 50s at the moment. And I still feel that the 50% is the ideal. Is the ideal number. But you have to get there. You know, you have to be able to get there, and some capacity is a bit lumpy. So it's not exactly a smooth progression, and that's why I say we keep this, we keep that portfolio under active review. So we're currently in the 50s, and as our packaging business grows to refine production, etc., then I hope to see that number continuing to fall back. But it was over around 70%. So SCA. So not only have we delivered all the synergies and more on SCA, and really grown the packaging and delivered the results, but we've also come down now quite considerably on the balance of paper to packaging, which I think is will put us in a long term in a good position.
Just on Greece and Turkey, Hector, we obviously have been cognizant of what's been happening in the in both countries over the last few months. We put in a good understanding of what we think the value for the business is. The other party selling has their views, and at the moment they're not close enough to each other. But yeah, we remain very interested. We think there are good opportunities there, but you know we're pretty financially driven, mm-hmm. and we know what we can pay and we know what we can't pay.
Okay, thank you. That's the answer that I was expecting.
We know exactly how much we'll pay. Yeah.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, just as a further reminder, if you have a question or comment, please press star one now on your telephone keypad. At the moment, we have no further questions, so I'll hand you back to your host.
Well, thank you, everybody, for your time. We always appreciate your interest and comments. Just to say, looking ahead, our outlook remains positive as volumes grow, despite the challenging market conditions. And this, together with our geographic scale, quality of service, performance on the recent acquisitions, gives us real confidence for the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now replace your handsets.